I'm now to spend a few minutes with Sheriff John Robertson, who joins us in studio. And, of course, our topic today is the officer-involved shooting incident that took place in Napa County. We're going to talk about what's known about it, and now that names have been revealed and more details are available. And, of course, the video has been available via social media to people in the community. Sheriff, thanks for being in this morning.
Thank you, Barry. Good morning.
For those who aren't familiar with the situation, give us a description of what happened.
Well, we're still investigating it to find out what happened. We just concluded some interviews yesterday with Deputy Jarecki, and we have the Major Crimes Task Force that's put together from agencies from Napa Police, California Highway Patrol, and the Sheriff's Office. And we're looking into it with the assistance of the district attorney.
Mm-hmm. So what we know from the video and the descriptions that accompanied it, the deputy saw this vehicle parked on the side of the road out Henry Road here in Carneros, investigated as you would. It was nighttime, right?
It was nighttime.
Uh-huh. And she was engaged with this person for 6 minutes or so before the incident that's seen on the video was took place, right?
Correct. You know, we patrol rural areas. It's quite common for us to run into vehicles where it could be something as innocent as somebody sleeping on the side of the road. But oftentimes in a rural area, there's no homes around or businesses, obviously, and people break down, their cars break down, and oftentimes we find people engaged in criminal activity or sexual assault or something like that. So our deputies are pretty adept at contacting people and finding out just what's going on and checking on their welfare.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything I know about law enforcement I learned from watching television and Crime Shift. So I assume, you know, you run the plates and you know who you have at that point in that vehicle?
Well, you know, when you run the license plates, that's just one of the pieces of the puzzle. You wish you knew who you had, but oftentimes the registered owner is not in the vehicle, or the identity is difficult to confirm, as it was in this case.
Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, with this person, suspect, he had quite a fairly extensive criminal record locally.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. He had been arrested for felony assault before with a knife, and he had also been arrested for some drug charges and driving under the influence, giving false information to a peace officer, resisting arrest, and also possession of a concealed firearm in his vehicle, a loaded firearm, previously.
Hmm. Was that known to Officer Jarecki at the time?
No. The identification that he used was a driver's license from Mexico, and we still don't know if that driver's license is legit or not. But it did come back with a name, and the name that she ran came back with a couple of local contacts.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because after the fact, you look back and think, well, this person had a record. They should have known. But you don't know that because they're not giving you their real ID in that situation.
He definitely had a record. He had several names and several date of births and a few warrants out under those various names.
Mm-hmm. The fact that there were 6 minutes of engagement with this person and yet there were no other officers on the scene at that point. Is that normal for a sheriff's deputy?
You know, we patrol almost 800 square miles. And at that time of night, on a Sunday night at 11 p.m., you know, our deputies are out there. Sometime your cover unit can be an hour away. And it depends on the call load. It depends on if people are engaged in other things. But we have limited staffing, mm-hmm. And we do the best we can. And you have to – sometimes you see something and you pass by knowing that my cover unit's a little too far away. Her cover unit was en route and wasn't all that far away. And she had that in the back of her mind as she was engaging this person, mm-hmm. kind of stalling the conversation, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But she does not speak Spanish, and the person in the vehicle was intermittently speaking English.
Mm-hmm. Is there reciprocity with the city police force on things like that for backup?
There can be. Obviously, when the call for help goes out, you know, everybody is is responding. We have the highway patrol out there. Even Fish and Wildlife will respond at times to help us out. But, you know, when we're doing routine patrol and, you know, in a vehicle check is somewhat routine for us. We do that frequently in the evening, and you just never know what you're walking up on.
Yeah. And I don't know what the numbers would be, but the vast majority of those incidents don't result in somebody suddenly whipping out a pistol and firing a shot.
Yes, that's it's fortunately for us, and it is a rare incident, and that's why this body camera video that we've released is so stunning.
Exactly, and that's where I was going next. Watched that video yesterday. It is it absolutely makes your heart jump up into your throat. It's almost like, and this is distorted to say in a way, but it's almost like a video game. That moment when this person turns and fires this shot, it has that feeling that we've all seen in these you know, violent video games where people are exchanging fire with each other. Yeah. And yet it's not. It's very, very real and very frightening.
Well, you know, his hand comes up quickly with the firearm, and if you notice the body camera angle, that body camera is placed in the center of her uniform, and she is wearing it. It's not held in her hand. When you see that muzzle flash, and there was more than one shot, he gets him off rapidly, and you know, I can imagine that. You know, it's by the, I think somebody described it as divine intervention. Well, I don't know what happened, but we were fortunate. Riley was fortunate, and she did not receive any physical injury.
Mm-hmm. When you watch the video to its conclusion, you see the officer then move behind the car, obviously getting out of the line of fire, and then moving to the opposite side and firing shots into the car, and that's where the video ends. What you have to wonder when you look at something like this and put yourself in that driver's seat, that person. I just fired shots at a police officer. I'm sitting in this car. I'm not even in a position to run. What can you possibly be thinking is going to be your outcome at that point? And that my next thought then leads me to, you have to be on something to behave that way. Is that an expectation that we'll find out in this case? Has there been a toxicology on the man who was shot?
Well, we did perform an autopsy. A pathologist perform that, and we do draw blood, and we will be finding out whether he was on any drugs. But what you'll notice in that time is that Riley very clearly puts out shots fired, thereby expediting her cover, who got there shortly thereafter. But she goes around the back of the car, and he is starting the car, if you listen to that video, to try to drive away.
I see.
Her car is parked directly in front of his with all her lights going, so I don't know that he could actually see where he was going to be going. But obviously, you know, the attempted murder of Deputy Jarecki was a very violent, quick act.
I guess expecting logic from someone in that situation, the suspect, is not appropriate.
Well, he had been involved before in scuffles with law enforcement. Mm-hmm. He's possessed weapons in the past.
He knows he has warrants. And he knows he's going to jail for maybe a long time if he gets caught.
Yeah.
That's all assumptions. Okay. So moving on from the incident itself, let's talk a little bit about the body camera and how law enforcement is changing in regard to incidents in the cameras. This is a pretty stunning example of what body cameras can do. Does it reinforce for us that they're a good thing?
It does. This is this is our second attempted murder on one of our police officers in less than a year. Deputy Lombardi encountered a rifle fight up in Yountville when he was attempting to rescue the hostages at the veterans' home.
Right.
And his body camera, which we can see, actually flew off of his uniform and hit the floor. Fortunately, we had other camera footage from the hospital. The body camera is a great tool. It does give us a lot of information and things that we can work on to do our jobs better. But a lot of times it just depends on the angle. And I don't think we've found the perfect angle for this. I know that law enforcement agencies have experimented with glasses, wearing glasses with a camera built into them, similar to Google Glass that was such a success. And I say that facetiously. I don't think they found where to mount it where hands don't come in front of it or you're extending the stock of a rifle and it blocks it or something. And also it's just the camera's view. It doesn't really tell you what the deputy sees. The deputy may or may not see, you know, we have the advantage with a camera of moving it slowly or doing still shots and saying, oh, there it is.
Right.
Where truly, maybe a deputy doesn't even see that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a deputy sees something in the background that the camera doesn't see because it's blocked or something like that. So while they are a tool, they're not the answer to everything. Mm-hmm. We still have integrity and the truth and things like that that we rely on.
Sure. Now, you inevitably will get criticized in your business no matter what you do.
Yes.
On social media right away yesterday, I saw comments saying, well, they wouldn't have released the video if it was the officer misbehaving or taking the wrong action.
Yes.
You know, eventually there will be an incident, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Correct.
That is not what appears to be as clear-cut as this one is.
Yes.
Would camera footage be available that quickly in a scenario where you don't like what you see in the video?
Right. Well, a lot of things are going to be on a case-by-case basis. I can tell you that if the officer or a deputy commits a crime, we're going to be charging that officer or that deputy with a crime during our investigation. We would delay the video because there's a case, there's a criminal case being built there, and also people have rights. And so we're going to release video footage based on a case-by-case basis. This was a video that we chose to release because we feel that the community needs to understand how quickly and how violently things can happen to our people out there on the street. And, you know, we don't start our day wanting this kind of thing. This was a tragic event. Deputy Jarecki is going to live with this event for the rest of her life. She was forced to take a life, on Sunday night, and she performed bravely and with courage and valor, and we're very proud of her. I got to tell you, if and when we have an incident that involves one of our deputies or an officer doing something wrong, they're going to be held accountable.
Yeah. Is it perception or is it reality that there are more of these kind of incidents? And I don't mean law enforcement shooting citizens, but situations that develop that lead to that. People acting violently, rifle fights in Yountville, as you described. There was the incident over by West Park School a couple of years ago now.
Yes.
It does certainly seem like there are more people who are causing the law enforcement response than we would have seen in earlier time. Is that a NAPA problem? Is that a universal problem that we're seeing?
Yeah. I have this debate, and I would probably have it with our PIO or community outreach person, that, you know, our deputies want to post everything. They want to post the officer that loses their life in Kansas City or something like that. And I do try to keep our social media, positive, for our community. Our community is blessed with we have a very supportive community in it, and we appreciate that every day. We are actually recruiting officers and deputies from other jurisdictions because of the way this community treats its law enforcement. But social media, with the development of social media, we are exposed. And, you know, you go home in the news and you're seeing, you know, I wish we were seeing unicorns and rainbows, but we're not. We're seeing a lot of tragedy and we're seeing a lot of shock. That video was an example. That video on social media has spread. It's viral. Just because of the nature of it, but everybody's exposed to that. I don't know that our incidents are occurring more frequently. I don't have data to back that up. I know that a lot of police officers lost their lives last year. We've got to do something, in our society. I think everybody talks about how children are our future. I think our children are our now, and, we've got to figure out some kind of respect, programs or instill something into our culture so that they respect life and respect one another.
Yeah, there does seem to have been an attitude that's developed that taking shots at police officers is acceptable to some, you know, for some sector of society, that this is the way to respond. It's a different feeling in this last couple of years than what I've experienced in the past. So what happens next in a situation like this? The officer typically goes on a leave during investigation.
So Deputy Jarecki is on administrative leave. That's common in all of our officer-involved shootings. She's definitely processing things. She was just interviewed yesterday for this case. So we're still in the early stages of development. We give her as much time as she needs to put things together. Obviously, we're offering her supportive services, and we'll continue to do that, as we did with Deputy Lombardi when he was involved in his shooting. We want to get the whole deputy back, this is a traumatic event to go through. It, you know, fortunately for us, it doesn't occur all the time, and we can really focus our attention. We're not Detroit or, you know, LA, where we have numerous cases going at the same time. We can really focus. And what's been great is this, not only the support of her peers, the people in her department, but we're getting calls from the community, emails from the community in support. And I got to tell you, I've never seen so much support in my life for law enforcement as I have on social media right now. Yeah. for Deputy Jarecki. And unfortunately, we told her to stay away from social media. I'm sure she would be encouraged by looking at some of these things. Sure. But there are those people that throw out the negative comments. But fortunately, the community is taking care of those people without us having to respond.
Mm-hmm. She, of course, as most people probably know, member of a family, third generation law enforcement family here in Napa.
Yeah, her grandfather was with Napa Police Department and became an investigator, and then worked for the district attorney's office as an investigator. And her father is currently one of our sergeants over in our court services, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah. Thank you for your time, Sheriff John Robertson. And I want to say what I said to Henry Wofford, your public affairs rep, yesterday, that the transparency and the communication from the Sheriff's Department on this and on other earlier incidents of late has been phenomenal. And as a member of the media and as a citizen, I appreciate it. And I think a lot of people in the community do as well.
Thanks, Barry. We live in a special community, and we appreciate your support.
That's going to wrap things up for this segment of the show.